Oh, yeah. What's going on, DMV? You know who it is. Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham here with you live and local on 106.7 The Fan. And always streaming live nationally on the always free Odyssey app. Ride with me. It'll take you up to 11 o'clock here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. Heck of a lot to get to. Curly W's wrapping things up on a high note with the New York Mets. James Wood going yard, closing this thing out late in the contest. I think G&D, excellent job on the post game. We're going to steer clear of the Nats here for the next couple hours because today, if you were not hip, the finale of training camp for your Washington Commanders in as a result of that, we've got a heck of a lot to get to. A couple of guests going to stop by the program per usual. Our pal Logan Paulson, who you can hear hosting the Take Command podcast, sponsored by FanDuel with our pal Grant Paulson. So it's a Paulson on Paulson exclusive on the Take Command podcast. You can download that wherever you get your pods. Logan going to join us coming up a little bit later on in the show. We will also be joined by ESPN NFL insider Dan Graziano. He is going to bless the show with his presence to get a little bit of the national perspective on what it is and what it ain't when it comes to the Washington Commanders. We'll let you hear from the head coach of the Washington Commanders, Dan Quinn, as well as we roll throughout this program. Because training camp ended today, it was the final day of camp, fully padded practice for the Commanders as the starters who are not going to play on Saturday got plenty of work in anticipation for next week as they have a little bit of a, I don't know what I want to call it, like a ramp up to ramp down in terms of what is going to happen next week. Cut down day coming up Tuesday. I believe they'll have a practice on Monday. Because of the Labor Day schedule, the Labor Day holiday, you definitely expect it to be a situation where it's probably Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday off, back in the facility on Monday, and then you're into your game week starting that Tuesday against the New York Giants. One thing that we'll be watching throughout that process, right, is, you know, whether or not Terry McLaurin is back out on the practice field. We actually got a little bit of an update on Terry McLaurin this afternoon via our beat writers and reporters that were out there, boots on the ground in Ashburn here today. Terry McLaurin came out and watched practice. I don't know if it means a whole lot. I think we see him back out on the practice field in the in an individual capacity maybe on Monday. But at this point, man, it's become really exhausting to try and keep up with this Terry McLaurin thing night in, night out, day in, day out. So I'm going to do my best to try and sift through it with you over the next couple of hours here. But, you know, to me, you know, it feels like at some point the rubber's got to meet the road, right? The rubber's got to meet the road at some point. And, you know, Terry McLaurin is under contract for the 2025 season. And we all know, and we've been told throughout the entirety of this process, Washington not motivated to move on from Terry McLaurin at this point. We'll get back to Terry McLaurin in a second, but I want to start with what today was like for the Washington Commanders. I'll say this, whether it's fair or not, it's how I feel about the situation. There has been, maybe I'm hyperbolizing it, let me know at 1-800-636-1067. It feels like since Terry McLaurin skipped mandatory mandatory minicamp, feels like since he skipped mandatory minicamp, there has been sort of a dark cloud hanging over this franchise, despite the fact that this team won 12 games a year ago and punched their ticket to the conference championship. Despite all of the good and positive momentum that this team built up last year, all the sweat equity, right, that this team built up last year, all of the trust that this front office built up last year. To me, there is a dark cloud hanging over this organization. And that dark cloud is the uncertainty surrounding one Terry McLaurin. But today, on the final day of training camp, I compare it to a situation where, and we live in the DMV, the most unpredictable weather situation in all of the country, I would say. It feels like, and it's fitting that we're in summer, right? We're getting toward the tail end of August. And by the way, if you've been outside today, if you're outside right now, leaving Nats Park, because I know a bunch of you are, a little brisk out there, ain't it? Maybe need a long sleeve, a jacket, a windbreaker, something of that sort. It lets me know that football season is upon us. And because football season is upon us, it's time for us to honestly begin to get, you know, excited about this season. Because say what you want, despite the dark cloud looming over this organization with the Terry stuff, it's a good football team. And it's a football team that earned the right to have expectations heading into this year. They earned that right. And I think, and we'll talk about this as we roll throughout the show, I feel like they're going to be able to live up to those expectations for the most part, but clearly it is dependent upon the availability of Terry McLaurin and the health of some other guys. But how I would describe today, being that we're in the DMV in the summertime, we go through these droughts of, we can get 4 or 5 straight days of isolated thunderstorms here in the DMV. It's just how it rocks. And Metal Chris, you know how I feel about the old thunder and lightning situation there.
Not a fan.
Not a fan. This is the fan, but I'm not a fan, if you pick up what I'm putting down. So I describe today as like the sun coming out for the Washington Commanders, right? After having 4 or 5 days of isolated storms, today felt like it was the sun coming out. Why? Because we got critical injury updates on some very important pieces to this 2025 Washington Commanders puzzle. The first of which, wide receiver Noah Brown. If we've got it ready, Metal Chris, here is the head coach of your Washington Commanders, Dan Quinn, giving us the latest on wide receiver Noah Brown.
Yes, let's talk with Noah. He's also kind of like pushing past the rehab portion of the strength side, and now like on the return to play, the accelerations, the decel. So yeah, he's close as well. And as he's targeting through this week and into next week, the arrow is certainly pointing really up for him, and we're pleased with where he's at. So yeah, good signs with Noah too.
That was head coach of the Washington Commanders, Dan Quinn. Speaking about Noah Brown, someone who has missed a majority of training camp. And when you're talking about this group, right? And we just got an update on the old practice schedule. But when it comes to Noah Brown and it comes to this receiving core, I think what we've seen throughout training camp, honestly, is not realistic, right? It's a situation where all training camp, we have not seen this receiving core with Terry McLaurin, with Noah Brown. And to their credit, as rough as it's looked at times during camp, you have to understand the caveat of, hey, you're minus Terry McLaurin, you're minus Noah Brown. You know, two of your three leading receivers from 2024. But I get where a lot of you are at right now when it comes to Noah Brown. He is not to be trusted. I don't mean that in a bad way, and I honestly feel tough for the kid because he's in a situation where this has kind of been the story throughout the entirety of his career. He can't stay off the trainer's table. But I will say this. In the season opener, if you were to tell me that they're going to have Noah Brown available and they're going to have Terry McLaurin available, the 19-16 rock fight that I predicted between Washington and New York, I think it still happens that way, but I feel a little bit more comfortable about the way things are going to go. But in terms of Terry McLaurin and him getting back out onto the practice field, there's a walkthrough tomorrow. I don't think it is a situation where we're going to see McLaurin at the walkthrough. Well, we won't know if he's at the walkthrough because that's not open to the media. Does he show up Saturday to the game? I'm not sure. Because it's not an ESPN broadcast, I'll give it a more likely chance this week. Is it a foregone conclusion that he shows up Saturday? Probably not. So they're going to have Sunday off most likely. Monday, I would think that they're back out onto the practice field. Tuesday is cut down day. And then
A little birdie just got in my ear and said the practice day is maybe going to be Wednesday and Thursday. So then they're going to have a little bit of a weekend break as the team lets them get away for a little bit for Labor Day weekend, let them spend some time with the fan bam, so on and so forth. That's just because Dan Quinn's a great guy. And it's going to let his guys get, you know, decompress a little bit before you really got to lock in for the stretch run of the regular season. So I'm excited about that. To me, though, this is the reason I described it as kind of like the sun coming out. Noah Brown's been on a milk carton. I had serious doubts and reservations about whether or not Noah Brown was going to be available. Why? Because without Noah Brown being available, right, the depth of the wide receiver room is a little bit spotty. But I will say this. There is one young man throughout training camp, and it has been a slow buildup for me, right? I have been kind of slow and late, quite frankly, to crown this young man. But he has continued to make plays as camp has gone on. And then in the two preseason games, we've seen him emerge as well. Jalen Lane, to me, is the guy that alleviates a lot of the concerns when it comes to this Washington Commanders receiving core. What he brings to this offense, and this is under the assumption that, you know, maybe Terry does miss the opener. Even if he does miss the opener, based on what I've seen from Jalen Brown, I think he can serve part of that Terry McLaurin role. The big reason that I think Washington misses Terry McLaurin, one, the contested catches, but then two, if you remove McLaurin from this receiving core, I don't really feel like there is a legitimate bona fide deep threat that can threaten defenses vertically week in and week out that teams are going to have to game plan for. And when you talk about wanting to maximize a Deebo Samuel, who I think this pass game is going to go through whether Terry's there or not, same with Ertz, same with Eckler, you want to maximize those three guys, you need someone that can draw attention and that can dictate coverage in terms of shading a safety to a side, so on and so forth. I think Terry's that guy. If Terry's not there, I think Jalen Lane has the potential to be that guy. He is lined up on the inside. He's lined up on the outside. And I think the thing about Jalen Lane, he can flat out fly, right? The combine testing numbers speak for themselves. He was a one-of-one athlete at the position out in Indianapolis. Now, the quarterback play at Tech kind of made him an unheralded cat coming out. But I think he's got the ability to really help out the wide receiver depth here in our nation's capital. Here's the head coach of the Washington Commanders, Dan Quinn, talking about that wide receiver depth earlier this afternoon.
I liked what I saw. You probably saw in the game, we worked Jalen some outside. And so I thought he's one, Ben, that like I see the ascension taking place. You can often feel it from the coaching point into the drill, onto the field. Like, he can apply it very quickly. So we saw Luke outside, Jalen outside, and that was by design to make sure, all right, what else, where are we at? Chris Moore will also be one that'll work back into today and into the game this weekend. So that's where we're at. We like where Noah and Terry are trending towards, but like you said, you want a contingency plan for everything, and you know, that's why we decided to work some guys outside and inside. So that's what we've done.
Look, I think it's a positive update when you talk about where things stood with Noah Brown. He hadn't practiced in a while, guys. So much so to where it's like, damn, is he going to be available for the opener? Obviously, his health is going to be something to monitor all throughout the season. That's just what it is at this point. Now, in terms of some other cats that got back out onto the practice field this afternoon, you were able to see a little bit of Jordan McGee, according to some folks that were out there. But the one that really turns my frown upside down, so to speak, if there was a frown on my face, I'm not actually frowning, but you pick up what I'm putting down. The big fella, Brandon Coleman, back out in full pads and was a full go. He hadn't done that, folks, since August the 2nd. So when you think about the importance of this offensive line and the success of 2025, I have my doubts and reservations about Coleman's availability for the opener. Because last year, what was the story with Brandon Coleman coming out of camp? Well, he couldn't stay off the trainer's table. It's tough. You feel for him, you know, a ton. Gotten the chance to, you know, build a little bit of a relationship with Brandon Coleman over the past year and a half. And there's not a guy on this football team, one, that works harder. Now, obviously, you could probably, you know, pick and find a guy that maybe works a little bit harder than BC. But you get the point that I'm trying to make here. He gets it, right? You want to talk about being first team Oh, Ashburn. Like, this kid works his tail off, and transitioning from tackle to guard isn't an easy thing to do. But when they first announced that he was going to make that move, I thought, man, he potentially could be a Pro Bowl talent at that spot. But when you spend a majority of camp on the shelf, I have my doubts and reservations about your availability for the opener. But the starting offensive line during team drills was as follows. Left to right, Laremy Tunsil, left tackle. Brandon Coleman, left guard. Tyler Biadasz, or Biadasz, word to Jay Gruden, at center. Nick Allegretti at your right guard spot. Andrew Wiley at your right tackle spot. Now, according to reports from folks that were out there this afternoon, Chris Paul and Josh Connerly Jr. rotated in with that first-team offensive line. So, as recently as like a week ago, I had my concerns about, well, damn, is BC going to be ready? I thought they signed George Faint because, man, maybe Coleman's not ready and they're going to have to play Wiley a little bit more at guard. We obviously find out that that is not the case. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It is at N-E-L-L underscore BTC people. Take a quick timeout. When we come back, in lieu of the Commanders wrapping up training camp earlier this afternoon, we'll do a little bit of a Commanders stock report. Whose stock is up? Whose stock is down? As we begin to inch toward the regular season opener against the New York Giants, I'll give you a stock report next. This is The Fan. One 800 636 1067 is the number. You tweet at me as well. It's at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. You're tapped into the youngest in charge. We'll take you up to 11 o'clock. Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL insider, going to join us before we get out of here. We'll also be joined by former Redskins tight end Logan Paulson. But right now, in honor of training camp wrapping up this afternoon for the Washington Commanders, I think what better time than now, right, than to do a Commander stock report. Whose stock is up? Whose stock is down as we get geared up for the start of the regular season? I'll start with a stock up. Deebo Samuel, if you're creating a all-Ashburn team from this summer, Deebo Samuel may just be your MVP. And what I think has stood out the most about Deebo Samuel and his productivity during camp, when he was first acquired, there was this overwhelming thought that he was a gadget guy and he was going to be used on primarily on jet sweeps and in the pony set out of the backfield and screens and so on and so forth. Remember all the stats we kept throwing at you. Well, Washington last year was number one last year in screen passes thrown to wide receiver. So, yeah, Deebo will be used primarily in that role. What has stood out the most about Deebo Samuel, and if you check out my practice reports on social media from each day that I'm out there, I tell you, yeah, JD5 to Deebo Samuel, that connection is continuing to blossom, and they hit on something big each and every practice. Deebo Samuel and how impactful he's been as a traditional wide receiver honestly has caught me off guard a little bit. Not that, you know, I felt like Deebo was washed or anything like that. Matter of fact, I'm the guy. Right, what did Ron Rivera say? I was the guy. Sitting in with my guy Toby Altizer back this offseason, sitting in for B. Mitch and JP. I was the guy that said, look, I don't tell people how to spend your money, but if you got a couple of extra shekels to spare, put it on Deebo Samuel being the leading touchdown scorer on your Washington Commanders for the 2025 season. I'll even take it a step further. As we go burgundy and bold here, right? I think to me, and I felt this way whether Terry was going to be a part of the equation or not, I think Deebo Samuel will be the feature guy in this offense. As we saw him get the first touch in the second preseason game Monday night, wouldn't surprise me if they ran that exact same play week one, play one, against the New York Giants. So stock up for Deebo Samuel. In terms of stock down, in terms of stock down, I hate that I got to do this. Jordan McGee. So look, here's why my stock is down for Jordan McGee. It's a similar situation to Brandon Coleman. Yes, I understand he got his way back onto the practice field today, went through some indie stuff, and is continuing to ramp himself up. But I got to go stock down because my expectations were sky high coming into his second training camp. Similar story to one Brandon Coleman. He is a young man that I think has got all the ability in the world, but when you can't stay off of the trainer's table, it's hard to continue to grow and progress. And the reason I put him under the microscope from the jumps is because they told us this offseason. Hey, look, part of the reason why we struggled to stop the run, and they were bottom three in every major statistical category when it comes to judging run defense. Well, the big reason we couldn't stop the run, or one of the reasons we couldn't stop the run, is because we couldn't play our traditional 4-3 set enough. Why? Because we didn't have confidence in our third linebacker. And I think when I first heard that, I went, that's a pretty good point. Because I know when they go base 4-3, it's Bobby at the mic, and then it's Frankie Louvu and Jordan McGee as your off-ball linebackers. You didn't get that opportunity because your third linebacker in Jordan McGee was simply not available. He hasn't been available for the majority of camp. Early on in camp, him and Dom Hampton, I thought, impressed as blitzers when they showed that double A gap mug look. And by the way, like, literally gets me in the lather thinking about that, because our next stock up guy here, Dorrance Armstrong. He, to me, if we're going back to the first team all Ashburn bit, he has been, it'd be a hard, hard trophy to give away in terms of like the training camp defensive player of camp. Between Trey Amos and Dorrance Armstrong, like those two guys have stood out a ton. And in the preseason game on Monday night, you really saw just how impactful Dorrance Armstrong could be. When that dude is lined up and gets the opportunity to line up outside shade of the guard, watch out. He can win with quickness. He's got really good hands. And all of a sudden, ever since Von Miller's come to town, seems like Dorrance Armstrong, DA, as I like to call him, seems like he's a little bit more bendy all of a sudden. And I got the chance to chop it up with him after practice. The irony, right? One of our Commander's pop quiz questions that we did was, who was your favorite football player growing up? You know who Dorrance Armstrong said? Von Miller. So you want to talk about full circle season. I mean, that's it right there. Here's the thing. Everyone keeps, you know, talking about Dante Fowler, and I'm not trying to discredit Dante Fowler, but his 10.5 sacks were the quietest 10.5 sacks you will ever see in the National Football League. Dorrance Armstrong, though, was the guy that led this team in pressures. So when you're talking about your expectations for next year, I'll even take it a step further. If there's a guy on this Commander's defense that I think is going to be an 11, 12 sack guy, and I just don't think that's the case here, I think they'll be, you know, pass rush by committee, and a bunch of different guys will have some pretty decent numbers here, right? To me, right? Like, Dorrance is that guy. He led your team in quarterback pressures last year, but only was able to register 5 sacks. But the bigger thing with him, and I said this the other day, you've got to earn the right to rush the passer if you're Washington. First and second down defense was atrocious at times last year. They've got to simply be better in that category, point blank. Because if you can get teams into those obvious passing downs, this pass rush and the way that they can scheme things up via the pen with stunts and twists and games and loops, they could be lethal. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. And Lou of the Commanders wrapping up training camp earlier this afternoon, we're giving you a burgundy and gold stock report as we get geared up for the regular season opener. I want to take your calls on this, though, at 1-800-636-1067. You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL_BTP. Who are you most excited about coming out of Washington Commanders training camp? And then who do you want to hear a little bit more from as we get geared up for the regular season? Your calls on that next. This is The Fan. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL_BTP. You're tapped into the youngest in Charles and O. Willingham, taking you up to 11 o'clock tonight here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. If you want to keep the conversation going with me on social media, it is at NELL_BTP. If you want to see my handsome face, we're streaming live on a YouTube and X as well. If you're on YouTube, make sure you're checking us out at 106.7 The Fan. Same handle on the old X app as well. Right now, though, taking your calls at 1-800-636-1067. In honor of the Washington Commanders wrapping up training camp earlier this afternoon, thought we'd do a little bit of a Commander stock report. Whose stock is up, whose stock is down as we get geared up for the regular season opener against the New York Giants. You can tweet at me with those as well. It's at NELL_BTP. Our guy Tommy T says in the YouTube chat, Dorrance Armstrong came on strong in the playoffs, recording 3.5 sacks. See? Tommy T gets it. Tommy T gets it, yeah. Like, the Dorrance Armstrong thing is interesting to me, right? Because last year, when he was initially signed, I think there were some folks out there that thought, well, maybe it's an overpay. This is a dude that had not been a full-time starter at any point in his career. So it was fair to wonder, well, hey, is Dorrance a guy that can get it done? And I think he showed you last year. And he dealt with a little bit of an injury, too. They got him a little bit nicked up. And he wasn't at 100%. But, I mean, in terms of the guys last year, like, Dorrance Armstrong was second in the NFL playoffs with 3.5 sacks. Like, those are big-time numbers, man. He was second in the entire NFL postseason with 3.5 sacks. Right? George Karloftis of the Chiefs had 4 sacks during their postseason run. Nolan Smith of Philly had 4, and then it was Dorrance Armstrong with 3.5. So, like, them numbers ain't nothing to sneeze at, man. Dorrance Armstrong is a young man that I think really this year and throughout camp is going to come into his own. He can play, man. He can play. He can play. He can play. But here's the thing. With Armstrong, I think he is at his best when he gets the opportunity to stand up over the outside shade of the guard and rush from the interior. When you talk about the games that they could play up front with him in the defensive end, like, the possibilities are endless here. But here's the thing with DA. Why I really get excited about that cat. One, just from following him on social media, just the ultimate family guy. Love that about him. Have his peoples out at practice all the time. But, dog, Dorrance is 28. 28 years of age, man. Same age as the youngest in charge. I turned 28 in November, so there's that. But DA, I think, is just now starting to scratch the surface of what he can be as a National Football League player. And the numbers for him over the years, back when he was in Dallas, in a situational role is the best way that I will put it, he can get after the quarterback straight up. 8.5 sacks in 2022 was a career high. 7.5 in 23 and then 5 last year. He definitely feels like a guy that's getting ready to take that next step as an edge rusher. Continuing our Washington Commanders stock report right here on Overtime, want to go with another stock down, and it's Noah Brown. Now, I opened up the show talking about how important it is that he has returned, but the reason the stock is down coming out of camp, I told you Brandon Coleman hadn't practiced in a full capacity since August the 2nd. I couldn't even tell you if Noah Brown had practiced in any full capacity at all throughout this training camp. And when you're talking about this Commanders wide receiver core and you're talking about why you have confidence in this group, you know, Noah Brown, whether it's smart or not to trust him because of the health issues, he's a big part of this equation. And I think as we continue to get closer to week one and closer to the start of the regular season, I feel like Noah Brown's health is going to be something that I'm monitoring very closely. But like I said, it's a situation that maybe before I was, oh no, where's Noah Brown? Can we survive without him? If that was a thought process before, after the camp that Jalen Lane has had and after the production that we've seen from him in these couple of preseason contests, you got to feel better about the wide receiver core, and you got to feel better about this group potentially being able to keep their head above water if they do have to miss time from a Noah Brown or whether or not the Terry thing goes haywire. Stock up because there were more, I'll say this, there were more guys with their stock up than their stock down, for those of you that are wondering. But in terms of stock up, Chris Paul. Chris Paul, baby. And look, anybody that was out there, you know, or watching my recap videos back during the voluntary OTAs, I told you straight up, Chris Paul came in looking trim. Very trim. And when you think about it, the way he's played this preseason and throughout training camp, he is all but a lock. You hear me? A lock to make this Commanders 53-man roster. He's got tackle and guard versatility. And you saw it on Monday night, the ability to get out in space and get a hat on a guy to create an alley and a lane for your back. Like, he's shown that all throughout camp. And the football nerd in me, going to continue to go back to what DQ talked about earlier this afternoon at the podium, the difference in the run game and where things stand. I think the offensive linemen are really going to be the straw that stirs the drink when it comes to Washington's rushing attack and just how successful they are in doing that, right? You're seeing, you know, the scheme changes in this run game, right? More of the gap scheme stuff. You're seeing them with counter and trap and wham and things of that nature. Like, they're getting a hat on a hat and making things click. And when you think about the success that they had last year and what schemes were most successful, that GT counter that they ran were giving people fits. And Cliff, as we got throughout the year, and I don't want to just give credit to Cliff. I think we got to give credit to Cliff, Anthony Lynn. Cliff, Anthony Lynn, Bobby Johnson. Those guys all collaborate to get this rushing attack to be what it was. And the way that I described it all throughout the year, put it on a T-shirt. If you pick out what I'm putting down, right? Exotic smash mouth football. That is what we saw last year on the ground from the Washington Commanders. And if they're going to replicate that this season, I think more importantly than the discussion we're going to have about the running backs, I really feel like, you know, when it comes to the success of this rushing attack, the offensive line is the more important piece here. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. In lieu of the Commanders wrapping up training camp earlier this afternoon, we're giving you a little bit of a Commander stock report. Whose stock is up, whose stock is down as we creep towards the start of the regular season. Plus, on the phones, we're asking you this at 1-800-636-1067. You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL_BTP. Who are you most excited about coming out of training camp, and who are you wanting to hear a little bit more from in terms of between now and the start of the regular season? 1-800-636-1067. Bo is out in Virginia. What's chiming in? What's up, Bo?
Hey, I'm question. That's what everybody's speaking.
Bo, you got to ask the question again. Your phone got zapped.
Yeah, I was calling about how come everybody's sleeping on Ja'Cory Brooks out of Louisville, Kentucky.
I don't know if I would describe folks as sleeping on Ja'Cory Brooks, Bo. I think it's a real interesting situation there. The bottom line is this, right? Ja'Cory, the Commanders are probably going to keep 5 or 6 wide receivers. The question is, if you feel like you can get Ja'Cory Brooks onto your practice squad, he probably will not make this final 53. Doesn't mean that he hadn't made plays, doesn't mean that he hadn't flashed, but he is an undrafted free agent at the end of the day. But he has made some plays for sure.
Yeah, I think he's a little bit better than Noah Brown, because Noah Brown, he's deadly, he's always hurt. And Ja'Cory Brooks, he's proved to be a top wide receiver in college. And I see he looks like he can make the step into the NFL.
For sure. And I appreciate the call as always, man. 1-800-636-1067. I think it's a fascinating conversation. I put together my 53-man roster 1.0. I'll put together another one on Monday after we get to see the second or the final preseason game, rather, for the Washington Commanders. But Ja'Cory Brooks did make my final 53. I did have Ja'Cory Brooks on my final 53. Will they end up keeping 6 wide receivers? I don't know. I think it depends on the numbers game in a couple of different positions. Do they keep 9 or 10 offensive linemen? Do they keep 9 or 10 defensive linemen? I think it's a damn near lock that they have 5 linebackers on this final 53, depending upon the health of I have it written here as Bobby McGee, Jordan McGee, right? I think his health is going to determine maybe the numbers game at that spot as well. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, the Commanders that you're most excited about coming out of training camp, and then who needs to show you a little bit more? That's next here on The Fan. If you're out on 14th and Eustree, shout out to you is all I'm going to say about that. This is The Fan. It's tapped into the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham. We'll take you up to 11 o'clock. A couple of guests will stop by the program before we put this bad boy to rest. Former Redskins tight end Logan Paulson going to join us. Current NFL insider for ESPN, Dan Graziano, going to join the program. So make sure you keep it locked right here on The Fan. We are streaming live on YouTube and X as well. It is at 1067 The Fan. Right now, taking your calls at 1-800-636-1067. In honor of training camp, wrapping up earlier this afternoon, we're going to do a little bit of a Commander stock report. Now we're taking your calls on this. Which Commander are you most excited about coming out of training camp? And then who do you want to hear a little bit more from in the burgundy and gold as we get geared up and inch our way toward the start of the regular season? Josh out in Northeast wants to chime in. What's going on, Josh?
Hey, man, what's up, Chan?
What's going on, brother? How you doing?
Man, I'm doing good, man. I really want to bug you about the contract, but my most excited player coming out.
You said what you're talking about, Terry?
Yes, sir. You good already Lord. Know, man.
Good Lord, good Lord.
The most player I'm excited about is Trey Amos. This guy looking like he's running with the best of them. We got to see when he gets out there what he could do.
Josh, real quick, man. I don't know what your music taste is like. You know what sold me on Trey Amos. I talked to him after I think it was after one of the first couple of days of training camp, and I said, man, who you bumping in the locker room before a game, man? He goes, NBA Youngboy. And if you know anything about the crash-out mentality of NBA Youngboy, you know Trey Amos is all gas, no brakes.
Hey, man, I'm all here for it, man.
For sure.
We've been lacking in the back, but the person I need to see more from, I'm going to say I need Jerzon Johnny Newton.
Wow,
I need to see
one.
More.
That's a good
he hit
one.
That. He got me with a sack fumble and the preseason work. You know, Allen's gone. I know he may not be starting in the 4-3 lineup per se, but they're going to rotate and stuff. But I need my man Johnny Newton. I need him to push the pocket, man. I need to see him get that work in, man. Get some pressures.
For sure.
Get some double teams, all that,
and I
man.
Think, man, and I appreciate the call as always. I had the chance to catch up with Sharif Floyd. Maybe we'll play a part of that conversation here tonight as well. I had a chance to catch up with Sharif Floyd at the tail end of last week, and we spent a lot of time off the record talking about Jerzon. And, you know, I think what we don't take into account enough about his rookie campaign, being on the shelf, man, and worrying about rehab instead of worrying about technique and get off and things of that nature, man, it hurts you. You don't get the chance to get better, and I know that was something he was super excited about. He cut the wicks off. Rocking the low cut right now, so you're trying to get on man time. I love me some Johnny Newton. Here's the thing, though, about Jerzon Newton. He's got to pan out. He's got to. When you think about the premium draft capital that was used to make that pick, he's got to turn into somebody. And then I remember when he was first drafted, all the excitement we had, because if it wasn't for the foot injury, I think, you know, most draft pundits had him as a consensus first-round pick. So the fact that you were able to acquire him, right, in the second, I think it's a little bit of a steal. 1-800, that's a good answer, though. 1-800-636-1067. Commander stock report. I told you whose stock was up, whose stock was down. We'll wrap that up coming up top of the 9 o'clock hour. But right now, running through your calls, which Commander coming out of camp are you most excited about as we get geared up for the regular season? And then who do you want to hear a little bit more from? William is in D.C. What's going on, Will?
Yeah, I was thinking about, Josh Connerly Jr. I'm wondering, do you guys think he'll get the start week one, or do you think Wiley will be playing over him over at right tackle if Cosme is healthy?
That's a really good question, man. And I think Josh, there was a clip that I had on social media that went viral very early on in camp when I described his first week as underwhelming. I believe that since then, man, each and every day, each and every week, he's taken a step forward. I think the game tape for him throughout the first 2 weeks has been awesome. Here's what I'm most encouraged about, William, when it comes to Josh Connerly. Think about what his number one flaw was coming out of the University of Oregon this past spring. Did he have the requisite play strength to be an impact player, a starter, as you're alluding to, in year number one? I had my doubts and reservations about it. You saw it against Cincy, though, on Monday night. Gave up an inside pressure, but then is able to drop his ass in anchor versus power. Like, that, to me, was the thing that he had to really get better at, and I think he's done that. I think the movement skills, the hands and feet are always in unison. And then I think his ability to climb up to the second level, super impressive as well. 1-800-636-1067. Derek, out in Petersburg. What's the chime in? What's going on, Derek? How you doing, brother?
You all good.
What you got?
Man, I want to talk to you, man, about Jordan McGee, man. I'm just kind of, like, disappointed. I ain't really seen him this preseason. He been hurt. I keep hearing about his potential, but I ain't really seen him, man. He got to step up this season, man, for real.
I think that's a hell of a candidate. It's the reason I had him as a stock down guy. I remember I got the chance to talk to him a couple of weeks after he was drafted, and the kid gets it. Humble beginnings, was badass at Temple. I just feel like with him, like, he's got to get off of the trainer's table. And if he can be healthy, I think he'll have a chance to make an impact. But my question is this, like, is he going to be ready? Like, that is the big question. I think what they do with him on cutdown day, Derek, going to tell you a lot. Does he start off on the 53 or do they put him on PUP? I know right now he was back out on the practice field today in a limited capacity, but I think he's somebody that they really need to emerge, because that feels like, you know, the guy that could potentially be that green dot cat, you know, next year or whenever Bobby decides to hang it up. So I think you're definitely spot on, Derek, when it comes to Jordan McGee. Real quick before we let you go, who have you been most impressed with? Who are you most excited about coming out of camp?
Ooh, man. I was, like, really impressed with Debo, man. I know a lot of people say, like, Cross-Key Merritt. But, man, to me, Debo, man, because all the doubters and everybody talking about him and stuff like that. And I had to go get his jersey, too, and he balled out.
You got the Uno. Yes, sir. Love it. Appreciate you as always, Derek. Every time Debo scores this year, there will be a social media video of me going, Debo, whoa. 9 o'clock hour comes your way next here on The Fan.